Let us pray. God, at this hour when we come together to hear your word, open our eyes so that we can see, open our ears so that we may hear, and open our hearts to listen with our hearts what you have to say to us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was probably no different than what today is. It was the Sabbath in Capernaum. People got up. Mom and Dad were yelling at the kids, "Get up, wash your face, brush your teeth. We have to go to the synagogue. We don't want to be the late ones. We don't want to sit in the back." Moms are busy putting the roast into the oven just to make sure that when they come back home from the synagogue that it's ready to go. It's just any other Sabbath. They go. They sit. But something's different this day. There's a guest speaker, Jesus from Nazareth. The youth in the back of the synagogue, they have their arms crossed like this as they listen. The mom is looking out the window. When is this finishing? I hope the roast doesn't get burnt. The dads are just dozing away, like all the other dads. But there's something different. There's something very different about this service. Now, we've heard from the text that crazy things happen in this passage. Yes, just imagine a person out in the back saying, "You! I know who you are!" Maybe at Kingsway Lantern we should have the stewards go in later, because I am kind of afraid. But let's, for example, in an ordinary church, there's a person who says, "I know who you are." The first thing that'll happen is Don will probably wrestle him to the ground. As I see, Don is in the very back row. And if Don can't do it, Alistair will probably help, and Clive will probably help. I wonder if the elders of the synagogue were trying to rush this person out, but of course this person is too strong. This person, "I know who you are. You're Jesus. You're the Son of God. Have mercy on me." Now we look at it today and we say, yes, of course, that's who he is. But think about this. This is synagogue. These people were just expecting just an ordinary service so that they can go back to their lunch. But here he is, someone saying, this person, this guest speaker, Jesus from Nazareth of all places, he's the Son of God. It's a pretty crazy story. It's not, definitely not an ordinary Sabbath day in the synagogue in Capernaum. But what does Jesus do? Jesus casts out the demons. Imagine if I said, "Get out of you, you demon," and the demon left. And all of a sudden, that person who was saying, "I know who you are," all of a sudden walks down and sits in the first pew and acts like an ordinary Kingsway Lantern United Church member. Word would spread, wouldn't it? There's a person at Kingsway Lambton who casts out demons, who make people come through those doors and sit in the very first pew of the church. And the fame continues to go. It goes from Kingsway, it goes into Humber Valley, it goes through Etobicoke, goes through Toronto, 905, Ontario, and just goes on and on and on. But the problem is this. It doesn't quite work that way in the world that we live in today. Frankly, I wish I had the powers, like Jesus did, to cast out demons. And of course, we've heard about the Crusades in Africa, people like Benny Hinn, who will just wave his hands like this and people will just drop like flies. Cast out demons, all these crazy things. But I was really thinking, what if I actually experienced someone walking through that door as I preach and say, I know what you did last summer, or I know what you did when you were a young person. I wonder how I would feel. I wonder if a demon-possessed person or a mentally ill person would come through those doors and start yelling at the top of one's voice. I wonder how I would react. Would I be happy? Would I say, in the name of Jesus? Or would I be scared? Would I say, Don, please do something? The problem is this. I don't think I'll have the courage to do anything, quite honestly. If we're to take it a little bit further, and thank you, Hillary, for the reading. On this Covenanting Sunday, if you ask me, Moses, would you give up meat for Jesus Christ? Would you live your life as a vegan? We just covenanted. I mean, you're a servant of God. Couldn't you do that? I would probably say, no, I can't. In many ways, I will fail. In many ways, in the ministry that I do here at Kingsway Lambton, I will fail. When a person comes in and challenges me and says, Moses, I know you love meat, but you know, a lot of the meat in Canada, they're processed some way. Moses, I know you eat halal meat. How can you do that? That's not the Christian way. You have to give up meat. I don't know if I'll be able to say, and that's the crazy thing in all of this, right? In the scripture today, it talks about Jesus and about how his fame went around Israel. The acts that Jesus did in casting out demons, it continued to spread, and people continued to spread those words. And it's the same with Paul. Paul went to such a distance to show of his love for Jesus Christ, of his love for his people. But it's, if we really think about it, what is it all about? What is it all about? Today the sermon is titled The Fame of the Gospel. It's about the fame of the gospel. It's about the love of Jesus Christ. When I think about the incident that takes place in the gospel reading today, full synagogue, 300 people, they've all just experienced this, a miraculous, crazy thing where a demon is cast out. A person who's totally crazy becomes totally normal. Innocent like a little, little lamb. As soon as service is out, people forget about the pot roast. They go, they say, there's this man, Jesus from Nazareth, and he is amazing. He has the power to cast out demons. And so they'll continue to go. They'll go from Capernaum. They'll go to different parts of Israel. Maybe for one day they'll spread that news. For another day they'll spread that news. For a week they may spread that news. For a month they may spread that news. But then what? If it's about the fame of what Jesus did, the crazy thing is, only a few years later, it's the same people who say, crucify him. But I wonder, for that person who stood back there, who said, I know who you are, Jesus says, come out of him. For that person who was freed, walk down the aisle and who would sit on the first aisle, what did he or she experience? Was it seeing this great man who would cast out demons? The person in this story who yelled at the top of one's voice, who was forced to yell at the top of one's voice, what they experienced was love. What they experienced was the good news. What they experienced is the gospel. He probably knew. That person probably knew. That person experienced the love of Jesus Christ, the compassion that Jesus had for that person, the love that goes beyond all love, the love that takes Jesus to Calvary. And that is the love that we have been called to preach, that I have been called to preach. And it is that love that calls me here to Kingsway Lambton United Church. It's that love that allows us to come together to say, we come into covenant together. I mean, at the end of the day, think about Jesus. Think about Paul, who's willing to give up meat. They're great, great preachers. They're great, great pastors. To them, I'm probably nothing. But it is our willingness to share in that love of Jesus Christ in the best way that we know how that binds us together as a community as we come together in covenant. And it's the fame of that love, of that gospel, that will spread from this place to all our neighbors in the Kingsway area and beyond. When Paul writes about food that had been placed before idols, Paul knew in his letter, he knew that it didn't matter whether we should eat these food or not, because as Christians, he argues that no idols actually exist. Zeus, Hermes, all of these Greek gods mean nothing, as there is no God but one. He writes this, indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ through whom are all things and through whom we exist. And so Paul, did he actually believe that people, when they eat these meats, were worshiping idols? No, he didn't. Did he actually believe that people would fall into temptation? Maybe. But it is the love of Jesus Christ that was portrayed through Paul in saying, if you are going to fall because you see me eating meat that may or may not have been idol worship, even though there are no idols, I am willing to place it all down because I'm the preacher of the gospel, of Christ's love. We are coming to the end of the Epiphany season. We talk about Jesus who comes as light to this world. Now, some people don't like the light and dark analogy. They think it's too black and white. There are many, many traces of historical facts that come with those words, connotations. But Jesus came as light. I've been saying over and over through this Epiphany season that our calling is to be reflectors of that light. Just like the moon reflects the light from the sun and gives us brightness in the night, we are called to be reflectors of Christ's love. We are called to be reflectors of the gospel. I have been called here to be a reflector of that gospel. Brothers and sisters, in my ministry here at Kingsway Lambton, maybe our Sunday school will grow again to 200, 300 kids, where we may need to have an official board saying, Moses, we need to get those kids out of here. It's too noisy for us to worship up here. Maybe my fame will go out through the land and say, Moses is such, he's a miracle worker. And in fact, I have to share with you, at one point in my career, it did. I was part of a church that was growing exponentially. My youth group went from 70 to 300 in 3 years. Is it because I was special? If you go back to New Jersey, no one remembers this. But if you talk to these people, they will remember that the ministry that was done at that church was a ministry of love, where the pastors cared for the children, for the youth. They were willing to live their lives in their own ways, live lives of the gospel. And for me, on this covenanting Sunday, I share with you that my calling is to reflect that gospel, to share in that fame of the gospel, to allow the power of the gospel to reign supreme over our church, over our neighborhood. And if that calling means that I have to give up me, I might have to. Not because I want to, but because the power of the gospel allows me to and empowers me to. Brothers and sisters, as I shared, we are at the end of Epiphany. It's a season when we think about Jesus Christ, who came into this world as hope, as love, as light. Brothers and sisters, I promise to you that in my ministry, in my life here at Kingsway Lambton, I will try to be the best reflector of that light. That means every morning I promise to wipe my mirror so it reflects well. I promise to always keep myself ready to be a great reflector, to be a great messenger of that love. I pray and hope that as fellow members of this covenant, that maybe you too will shine your light, will keep your mirror clean. And as we come together in sharing of the fame of the gospel, that we can do this together. Amen. Let us pray. God, in the gospel, according to Mark, it says that the fame of Jesus went throughout the land. God, we pray that we here at Kingsway Lambton can be a place where the fame of the gospel can continue to go out, that we can reflect the fame of the gospel, that we can reflect the joy that comes with the gospel, that we can be people who can share that, you know, the gospel, living as Christians, it's not a burden. It's not something that brings us down, but it's something that gives us new life, something that gives us joy. God, I pray that you continue to empower us to be the best reflectors of your fame of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.